Coming to you live from the Morningstar Mission Sponsor Studios, this is Carl and Crew Mornings on 90.1 FM Moody Radio.
If you don't believe God heals, you probably won't pray for healing. If you don't pray for healing, you might miss out on one of the great things God wants to do in your life. Now, healing and all that stuff creates a lot of doubts, and it did for me. You know, a lot of us real Bible, kind of Bible church, community church, you know what I'm saying, guys?
Yeah.
That evangelical wing of Christendom that is staunchly by the book. I mean, I think there's been a fall off of the high ridge when it comes to healing. And by virtue of the fact that some people are falling, let's say, to the left side of the ridge, and they're the late night guys that I like to talk about around here, because I try to distance ourselves in any discussion, acknowledging and overcoming objections by acknowledging for you. I've seen it. It gets crazy. Yeah. I've gone to a couple of these things where there is a lot of presumption upon God that has nothing to do with faith. It's
100%
full on presumption. And it gets wiggy, man. It gets wiggy. And then you hear documentaries about how some of these guys, remember that one cat daddy had an earpiece in his ear and his wife was telling him about, this is a big night, big Dateline special or something.
Pointing out maladies and things.
Yeah, out maladies, mm-hmm. And guy would call him out and like he had an inside scoop from God. Wow. That kind of stuff. Man, I'm telling, don't mess with God on that stuff.
Do not.
But we can't let that push us away from the prospect that God is still healing today.
Yes.
And I think when my wife came down with something really rough, man, a few years ago, boy, you find someone close to you that's hurting, you'll start praying. And I saw God move. You know, I was saying this last Sunday at 180 Chicago, I think downtown campus. Look, when we get to heaven, we're going to find out that some of these things that we thought, boy, I'm glad I went to the doctor, God was already working in.
Yeah.
Or he superseded whatever they were doing there, because we were praying by faith. And I'm not talking about not going to the doctor or anything like that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about good old fashioned, are we praying for healing? And I got to tell you, I had one happen here this last Saturday night. I was going to bed and I had this crazy sinus infection. I'd never had anything like this before in my life. Touch the bridge of my nose, just touch it gently. And man, the pain, I couldn't even keep my glasses on because the nose pads were
really,
it was horrible.
That's unfathomable.
So it was bad. So I'm getting ready to go to bed. My bride says, you need to text. We use Slack. It's high tech text. The elders and the DLT, directional leadership team, and I did, and they were praying. Paul Hansen, one of my brothers, said, man, when I was praying, I just felt like I was praying by faith, and I just felt like God was doing something. And on top of that, another guy, Jay, he chimed in on text or on Slack, and he said, I'm feeling it too, man. I've got the same thing Carl has. I didn't even know that. He said, could you pray for me while you're praying for Carl? I cannot explain to you. I've had times when I went to bed feeling worse in my life, for sure. But I've never had such a dramatic thing in all my years where I went to bed feeling a certain way, woke up. And you ever woken up in the morning when you went to bed really sick and you wake up and you do a self-check before you even move? It's like your eyes are open and now you're all going,
definitely.
Is my throat sore? Is my leg still aching? Whatever it is.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no way. And then I touch my nose. Nothing. I mean, it is gone. I'm a big believer in healing. And it's because it's biblical. Now, some of you may doubt. I get that. But let's get after it. Dr. Sam Storms is going to be with us. And I really want you to get this, Boom Crew.
Helping you take the next step in your walk with Jesus. This is Carl and Crew Mornings.
Well, this whole week, Boom Crew, we're tackling doubts that you had. It was a fascinating day when we granted you permission just by looking at the lesson of Thomas. I mean, a lot of times he gets a bad rap. In fact, when I was a kid in Sunday school, I heard the song, "Don't be a doubting Thomas, just rest upon his promise. Don't worry, worry, worry when you can pray." That was a bogus song. We need to allow people to bring their doubts to the table, because if God can't handle your doubts, we're to be pitied, as Paul said. What have we done? So one of the big doubts that you brought up, Boom Crew, was, does God really heal? Does he really heal? And that's a question that we've got for our expert today, Dr. Sam Storms.
Founder and president of Enjoying God Ministries, serves on the Council of the Gospel Coalition. This is a big one. How do we even begin to break down? You tell us, how do we break down even evaluating a question like that? Does God still heal? Where's the starting point?
I understand why people have doubts about it. And honestly, I think the reason most people doubt is because they don't understand God's purposes in healing or how it operates. So, for example, I'm going to say something that may sound outrageous when you first hear it.
I love it.
There is no such thing as the spiritual gift of healing. People have this idea that if somebody receives a gift for healing, that they can heal anybody at any time, whenever they want, of any affliction. And that kind of gift never existed, not even in the New Testament. When Paul talks about healing, he says there are gifts, plural, of healings, plural. It's plural in both cases.
Interesting.
And I think what he's telling us there is that there's not just one gift that endows somebody with the power to heal at all times, but rather he's suggesting that there are many different gifts or powers of healing, each appropriate to and effective for its related illness. So, for example, people think that healing is something that if it exists, I ought to be able to lay hands on a person with cancer and they're automatically healed, and I can lay hands on another person and pray and they're automatically healed. And that misunderstands how this works. Healing is not at our beck and call. It's not subject to our will, our timing, or our desires. It's subject to God's sovereign purposes and timing. So, for example, let's just say hypothetically, and it actually happened once to me, so it's not really hypothetical.
Okay.
Let's say two people come to me suffering from migraine headaches. And I pray for one. I say, God, would you grant me a gift for the healing of this particular affliction? And he does. And it's happened. And they're instantly healed. So then I turn to the person standing next to them who has the same affliction. I pray the same prayer. Nothing happens. Why? Because God's timing, his purpose, his will for one was that they be healed right then and there, but it wasn't his will for the other. Now, why he would not will it for both, obviously, is a mystery. We cannot fathom God's decisions. You know, Romans 11 says they are unfathomable and beyond searching out. But people need to understand that healing is not in the power of any individual Christian. It's subject to God's timing, to God's purposes. For example, in our church, I would invite people to come to the front and pray for the sick. And on many occasions, I would have somebody say, but Sam, I don't have the gift of healing. Why should I come up and pray? And my answer is, how do you know that God won't grant you a gift for a particular healing if you do come and ask? So again, we need to be careful that we don't have this idea in our heads that healing is somehow in our back pocket. And if I've ever been able to heal one person of something, I should be able to heal everybody of everything. We need to get that idea out of our heads. I mean, think of the Apostle Paul. Obviously, he operated in healing. We know that. We read the book of Acts. He couldn't heal Trophimus. He left him sick at Miletus. We read in 2 Timothy. He couldn't heal Timothy of his frequent stomach ailments. We read in 1 Timothy 5. He couldn't heal Epaphroditus. Later on, Epaphroditus was healed, but Paul was at the verge of despair because his friend was about to die. And if Paul had an eye affliction, as Galatians 4 suggests, he couldn't heal himself. So why? Well, again, it's because God has a purpose and a timing for each healing according to his will, not according to ours. Our responsibility is to come to him expectant, knowing he's a God of mercy and power, that he is able to heal, and to pray that he would be pleased to do so in this particular case. And I think if people would have that understanding of how the gift operates, they wouldn't have so many crippling doubts about it.
There's another question around this. Dr. Sam Storms is our guest right now, and we're going to give you a link in just a moment that you can grab a lot of great content, great resources. Sam, there's an element about healing that is directly connected to faith. Now you get into a problem, because then you begin to conjure up in people's minds, oh, my faith isn't strong enough. And we know that it's not our faith that saves us. It's the object of our faith that saves us. But do speak for a moment about the reality that if we're double-minded, double-faith, double-souled, we can really miss some blessings that God wants to do. So what does biblical faith healing look like?
I think those two spiritual gifts are very much connected. So, for example, in James 5, where the man calls for the elders to come.
Yes.
They anoint him with oil. And it says, and the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. I think what we're seeing there is that God, according to his timing and purpose, grants to a person the faith that will then lead to a healing. But that's, again, that kind of faith is not in our pocket to pull out anytime we want. Faith operates at numerous levels. Obviously, all of us on this phone call right now and the people listening, we exercise faith moment by moment, trusting in the goodness of God, trusting in his purposes for our life. But there are some times when you experience what I call this extraordinary surge of confidence that God's going to do something right now for which I don't really have any biblical warrant. That's the gift of faith, which combines with a gift for healing. Obviously, I think, again, one of the problems that people have with this is they've probably witnessed a rather abusive individual who says to a person, I prayed for you, you didn't get healed. Well,
you lack faith.
You don't have enough faith. You lack faith. Well, the bottom line is that may be true in some cases because faith is an important element. In fact, most of the healings Jesus performed were in response to the faith of the person who was sick.
Absolutely.
But not all of them. I mean, the man in John 5, Jesus even had to ask him, do you want to be healed? I mean, what a question. So again, to add insult to injury, as it were, to take somebody who's suffering physically and then put them under guilt and shame because you say they didn't have enough faith to be healed,
yes,
is horribly detrimental, yeah, to the purposes of God. We have to avoid that at all costs.
Dr. Sam Storms, our guest right now. So coming up, let's wrestle with this one. I guess this is the question that really trips us up. So if God can heal, why doesn't God always heal? Why is the loved one that I've been praying for many, many years, or why is the condition that I've been suffering with for many, many years still not been healed? Let's talk about that coming up.
New to the show? Stick around for a while. We're Carl and Crew Mornings.
Dr. Sam Storms is our guest. I'm going to give you a keyword right now. Some of you are saying, how in the world can I find more resources? Text the word storm to 312-274-9624, STORM. And that'll get you to Dr. Sam Storm's website, and it has great resources right there.
So why doesn't God always heal if he has the power to do it? If we see throughout Scripture that when people asked for healing in the New Testament, he granted it, why doesn't that always happen for us today? What do you say, Dr. Sam Storms?
Let me give you several reasons. I'm going to kind of reel them off one after another. Sometimes it is because of a lack of faith. Now, again, we don't want to elevate faith to the place, as I said earlier, where if people don't get healed, it's because they're not believing. But sometimes the absence of the kind of faith that God grants, to which he's pleased to follow up with a healing, is not there. Secondly, sometimes it's because of the presence of sin for which there's been no repentance. You remember in James chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, he says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. So he seems to be saying pretty clearly that in some instances, there is some sin in a person's life for which they have not yet repented. Now, again, we have to be very sensitive and careful. Never would I tell a person who didn't get healed, oh, it's obviously you've got some hidden sin in your life. You've got some sinful addiction that you're hiding from us. That may be true, but that's not for us to say. And then third, some don't get healed because they don't want it to be. They don't want to be healed. I mean, Jesus in John 5, 6 said to the paralytic, do you want to be healed? And I've often said, Lord, I don't want to sound sacrilegious here, but that sounds like a dumb question to me. But the fact of the matter is, some people's affliction is their point of identity. It's the way in which they receive benevolence and financial support from others. And the idea that they would be perfectly healthy and have to get a job and support themselves is not rather appealing to them. And then also, let's think about James 4, 2. He says, you do not have because you do not ask. So I tell people, have you persevered in prayer? Have you combined it with fasting? That doesn't guarantee that God's going to heal you, but the absence of asking may in fact be the reason. And then we have to deal with the reality of the demonic. You remember the story in Luke 13 where the lady who was bent over double, Jesus said that Satan had bound her, and he then prayed, cast out the demon, and she was healed. And then here's the most important principle to remember. Let's just assume that all of these other possible causes for not being healed have been addressed and none of them apply. I look to Romans 8:28. We all know the verse well, that God causes all things to work together for our good. So what I think we are being told there is that there may well be something in our lives in terms of our conformity to Christ that he desires can only be achieved by means of our constant trust and faith in him in spite of our illness.
Wow.
In other words, it's basically God says, look, there's something I value in you that's more important than your physical health. It's your personal holiness. It's your love for me. It's your constant, ever-growing trust in me. In my infinite divine wisdom, I've determined that it is better for you that you not be healed, so that in the midst of your affliction, you will learn lessons that will more greatly contribute to your growing conformity to Jesus. And I have to conclude that because if, in fact, God causes all things to work together for my good, if he hasn't healed me, it must be because there's a greater good than my physical health that can only be achieved by the way I depend upon him, cry out to him, love him, and trust him in the midst of my physical affliction.
And that's Paul's story in 2 Corinthians 12. I mean, he celebrated his weakness because the thorn in the flesh wasn't removed. And he said, in my weakness, you are strong in me, God. Is that right, Sam?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, Paul says he prayed three times. I think it means three protracted seasons of prayer, not just three little popcorn prayers he prayed. And finally, the Lord said in a very nice and gentle way, as he does, Paul, shut up.
Yeah.
Don't ask me anymore, because I have a greater purpose in your life through this thorn than I could ever accomplish if I were to heal you of it. So again, I've said many times, never cease praying for healing until you are shown otherwise, either by divine revelation or death. And what that means is, unless God communicates to you like he did to Paul, no, I'm not going to do it, I have a greater purpose, or the person for whom you're praying dies. Until one of those two incidents happen, continue to press into the heart of God, continue to cry out to him for healing, knowing confidently that he has your greatest spiritual interests at heart. And what he's doing in your life is to make you more like Jesus, sometimes in the midst of your affliction, rather than by being healed of it.
One last quick one. Let's go to James 5. The elders are called, guy's sick, and they use something called anointing oil. Is that symbolic, or is there something else going on there, Sam? What's your take on that?
I do believe it's symbolic. I know that there are some who say that this oil had a medicinal function. You know, people use oils today and they think it has special medicinal powers. I think it's a symbolic reference to the Holy Spirit. It's a way of saying, by anointing you with oil, we are consecrating you, entrusting you, as it were, to the Spirit of God. We're setting you apart and asking that the Spirit of God would bring healing according to his will. So I don't think it's, you know, it's like, you know, you get a cut or a scrape when you're a kid back in my day and they would put mercuricome or something of that sort or rubbing alcohol on it. No, I don't think the oil here has a medicinal function. I do believe it's symbolic of the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. So we typically will anoint people when we pray for them. And again, it's just a way of saying, Spirit of God, we cry out to you now, according to your purpose and your will, would you grant us a gift for this particular healing of this particular individual?
Dr. Sam Storms, our guest right now. What would you say to the person who deals with feelings like maybe they failed, either because they haven't been healed or because the person that they've been praying for so long has not been healed? How do we deal with that feeling of failure when you walk through that grid and you go, there must be something wrong with me or something that I'm not doing right, that God hasn't answered this one? What do you say to that?
Well, again, that is a perennial problem basically for all of us. I mean, all of us at some time or another struggle with that. and we tend to look introspectively, and we say, look, Lord, I've done everything possible. I've repented of all sin. I've confessed it. I'm living as best I can through your power in accordance with what you revealed in the New Testament. And yet, Lord, nothing has happened. It must be because there's something defective in me, something defective in my faith, defective in my relationship with you. And again, we just simply need to say to that individual, that isn't the case. You have to look to the wisdom of God and the power of God. That's so important. Do you believe that God can heal? That's important. Jesus often asked those. He said, do you believe I'm able to heal you? By the way, he never asked a sick person, do you believe that I'm willing to heal you? He always said, do you believe that I'm able to heal you? And when they said yes, he healed them. So do we believe that? Do we believe that God does heal today? Because if you don't, if you come skeptical, you're not going to pray with much enthusiasm or confidence. Or with much expectancy.
Yeah.
So again, all of these factors play in, and we simply have to ultimately trust ourselves to the surpassing wisdom of God. You know, Romans 11 talks about his ways and his judgments are beyond our comprehension, and trust in his goodness and the fact that he's using this in our lives for his ultimate glory.
Dr. Sam Storms, thank you so much. Boom Crew, we got a link for you. Text STORM to 312-274-9624. We're going to make sure that you get this in the showcast as well, because some of you are like, I think I need to hear this 7 more times.
Text STORM to 312-274-9624. If you want the showcast, you can text the word show to that same number.
Text STORM to 312-274-9624.
Ever wonder what happens when the mics are off? Find out on Carl and Crew Mornings Facebook and Instagram.
Illinois is going to be one of 5 states that starts banning some of these food additives that are known cancer causers and white blood cell basically distorters. I mean, don't get me going on this.
Well, Jonathan brought up a good point. Why do they have to make it that way?
They don't.
You can make a chip without
exactly
yellow dye 6 and
don't.
7.
You know why?
So why?
It's because of the eye appeal. Just tell them these things are going to be smoking hot when you eat them.
They know that.
Because it's the super hot ones.
Yeah.
But they got to make them look like they're fluorescent. So great. They look good to you, and now you're going to glow in the dark in your casket. This is super. What a neat. Hey, you want to glow in the dark? Eat Cheetos. Die young. Glow in the dark when you're dead.
Wow. Yeah. Who needs it?
We don't. Okay. We want to spike something because we noticed something. We only talk showcast usually in our last hour here. And Boom Crew, you need to know something. We got thousands of people that have downloaded the showcast. Explain the benefit of this thing.
So the benefit of this thing is, listen, we know you're getting up in the day. Maybe you got to make some breakfast for your kids. And maybe your drive to work is only 15, 20 minutes long. So there's so much of the day that you may have missed. Yesterday, we got to talk with J. Warner Wallace. Hear the perspective of the truth of the gospel and the evidence for the gospel from a cold case detective. And
how good was it?
It was an amazing interview. And I want everybody who's listening to have been able to hear that interview. Maybe you can't even listen on Tuesdays. Maybe you're not in the car on Tuesdays. But hearing the showcast, you can check back on any day you may have missed and hear the content that's there waiting for you. So that's the benefit of the showcast. Or if you want to hear something again, send it to a friend who needs to be encouraged. You can do it by texting the word show to 312-274-9624. Now, maybe you've been using the Google podcast, because we send an Apple podcast link and a Google podcast link.
Both in one text link.
All in one text link. The Google podcast has been, that website's been discontinued, so we have a new link in there for you if you don't have an iPhone or something. So maybe you just need to text the word show again. You can do it. Text the word show to 312-274-9624. We've got a new link in there for you.
Yeah, and this is just a kick in the pants, guys, because you get everything crunched down. You get all the nonsense out, Super Dice Center nonsense stuff on here.
I'm sorry. I know. A lot
all
of
that
editing.
Nonsense out of here.
She goes crazy sometimes.
Oh, sometimes.
But then that, you know, we could just cut that and it wouldn't be in the showcase.
Cut it out. Some of it bleeds in every now and then.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
Did we leave my cow call in from yesterday? No, that got cut.
Lisa, did the cow call go in? Did you? Oh, yeah.
It went in.
Because it was a part of.
Now, I can do a moose mating call, but I'm going to save that for later.
Nothing like being in the car yesterday, tuning in to you guys and going, what?
What is happening?
I mean, how about that moose mating call?
It's a good question.
The moose mating call is one of the most bizarre things.
And it really
you
is.
Can hear them, man. When they're in the rut, look out, baby. They are out there grunting and going for it, and it's crazy. So we're going to do a poll. By the way, text the word show and get subscribed to our showcast.
That's right.
Text show to 312-274-9624. Come and get it. Show to 312-274-9624. Take a quick poll. If you want to hear a little taste of Alaska, hear a moose mating call from Carl. It's either yes or no, texts only, and build a case for why yes or why no, and I'll either do it or not.
All right.
312-274-9624. And if you throw in scripture to justify why I do a moose mating call.
That'd be extra points.
Extra points.
I don't know how you do it.
Well, figure it out. 312-274-9624. Having a big time here today, guys. Man, isn't God good?
Oh, amen.
He's the best.
Man.
New to the show? We're glad you're here. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
Don't normally do this here, Carl and Crew Mornings, but I've got a favor to ask of you. You don't know this, Boom Crew, but it was a segment that we had with you on a Monday morning. Can't timestamp this thing. I actually have it documented in the book that I'm writing. I'll get the date, but it was a Monday morning. Probably as far back as 8 months ago now, came in and felt compelled by the Spirit to ask you a question. And your response actually got me thinking. And I'm wanting to get a few more data points. It's not a scientific study, but it is of sorts. It's asking committed Jesus followers and people that really want to honor God with their lives a simple question. What one thing is keeping you from all the blessings and everything that God has for you? Now, as I ask you that, the Holy Spirit probably brings to your mind soon what that one thing is. I'm not looking for things that are outside of your control. I'm looking for those things where you're missing the mark. Hamartia is the Greek word for sin, where you're missing the mark. And it's like, man, Carl, if I could see God give me a victory over this, it would just be a domino effect in my life. I just know it. No shame in this at all. We all have that one thing. And by the way, when you knock down that one thing, the next thing will show up. It'll be like layers of an onion, but soon you'll get down to the core. So I need your help. Right now, I'm asking you to light up our text messages. Maybe you've never done it before. This is a great opportunity. I will not call out numbers. The one out of 1,000 names that we get in here, I'm not calling out names, and it doesn't really matter. Listen, I'm a pastor. I'm going to die with more secrets than Carter has pills. But I do want to know, what's that one thing that you'd love to conquer in your life because it's killing you? Yep. 312-274-9624. What is that one thing you'd love to conquer because that one thing is killing you? 312-274-9624. Just do me that favor. Getting some data points, wrapping up this book. It's coming out in January. I'm fired up, and you were the impetus for this, Boom Crew. Yeah, right here on The Morning Show. How cool is that, guys? Pretty neat.
You guys really do make an impact on us and what we feel like the Lord's telling us sometimes.
Big time.
Boom Crew, celebrate what God is doing in you. This is Carl and Crew Mornings.
I want to thank you for that, Boom Crew. A lot of great response, a lot of addiction. A lot of financial things that you got yourself in a ditch on. The inability to forgive. Being lazy or slothful. Control or worry. A lot of good things listed here, man. They go on and on. Long list. Long list, and I want to thank you for these. I want to thank you for them. Really appreciate your help, Boom Crew. That's tremendous. Coming up here in a minute. You know, in the second chapter of Galatians, the Apostle Paul says, he says that he had a meeting with Peter and John. And in that meeting with Peter and John, he came to the awareness that there's different callings for different people. Some in this case were called to minister to the Jewish population. Some were called to the Gentile. And the thing that I take away from that is that we all have a unique calling. Oftentimes we think our calling should be everyone's calling. Why doesn't everyone's heart beat fast about the things that my heart's beating fast about? Coming up here in 1 minute, we've got a man who has a unique calling. It might resonate with a lot of you. It's a very unusual but powerful ministry. We wanted to showcase it straight in.
Here to help with your spiritual spring cleaning, we're Carl and Crew Mornings.
Well, there's a lot of needs on the streets of Chicagoland. Guess we don't have to reiterate those, do we, Boom Crew? They're everywhere, aren't they, Allie?
And, you know, you see sometimes someone holding a cardboard sign along an interstate exit, or maybe you'll drive by and you'll see tents and personal items under a overpass or different parts of the city, people tucked away who have, for many, many reasons, have nowhere to go.
With us right now, Paul Schmitz. You got something started up a number of years ago you're pretty fired up about, aren't you, Paul?
I'm pretty fired up, yeah. It's called Shower Up, and we're providing mobile showers for these folks that you're talking about. These are the folks that are in need, and Shower Up goes to where they are, and we set up and we provide a hot, clean, safe, comfortable shower experience that will hopefully do something to change them from the inside out.
Yeah, that's great. How do you link a gospel witness to it? I mean, obviously, you don't. It's not contingent upon any big decision, but you offer up love in the name of Jesus, don't you?
Yeah, in a really tangible way. And that's really what we're all called to do, right? It's not just about saying I love you. It's about showing that. And so what we do is we show it by, you know, doing simple things. Like when we have someone who wants to get a shower, we hand them a towel face to face. We hand them their toiletry bag face to face. And we clean the shower to prepare it for them so that they know when they walk in, something's been done for them in a loving way. And they can only attribute that to God.
I love your tagline on your website. We aren't here to make dirty people clean. We are here to give hopeless people hope. I love that. How have you seen this simple act of providing a shower for somebody give them hope?
We've all experienced it. We've all kind of been in a shower and kind of thought, oh, okay, now I feel better. Now I can hit the day, or now I can reset, right? We've all been there. When you have, like a lot of these folks have, gone weeks without a shower, without a real proper shower, it can be that moment that makes you go, oh, okay, maybe now. And we had this experience just a couple of weeks ago where a guy came out of the shower and he said, you know what, guys, I want to get help with my addiction. Can you help me? And we connected him with someone and got him in rehab that week. And he's clean and sober now. And that's what happens. You get in a shower and just it washes away all of that stuff, literally and figuratively and spiritually.
It's really cool, Boom Crew. This is an effort that was begun in Nashville in 2020. They launched here and expanded into Chicago in 2021. And they really want to keep this cooking. This is something that you can tangibly get behind, Boom Crew, and say, oh, now I know how to minister to these people that I drive past every day of the week. And by the way, the numbers are nothing but increasing. I heard a story yesterday where people that have been posted up at certain corners are getting nudged out by a lot of the migrants that are coming in, and they're trying to get some real estate, just asking for help.
Wow.
And this is where Shower Up comes in and says, let's help everyone that we can.
And I'm looking at your website. So you often position yourself, these mobile shower units, you position strategically, and looking at the website, often near churches. Is that intentional, I'm assuming?
Well, yeah, because isn't that what we're called to do as people of faith? We're called to care for the least of these. Isn't that part of what our teaching tells us and what Jesus demonstrated? And so that's part of what we're trying to do. And we work alongside the Chicago Police Department. We work alongside Cook County Sheriff. And we work alongside these other organizations in Chicago doing some incredible things to help not only the migrants, but also those who are unhoused. Oftentimes, they're the same group of people. And people have asked us, do you just now work with migrants? You know, what about our people who are experiencing homelessness and have been for a long time? And the answer is we do both. We've had to ramp up and accelerate what we do so that we can serve all of these people who are in need.
Here's what I want you to do, Boom Crew. Go to showerup.org. Check it out. I think you'll be encouraged by what you see there. And this might be, a lot of people are always wondering, boy, what do I do? What do I do? This is a tangible thing to do in the name of Jesus. ShowerUp.org. ShowerUp.org. We know that a lot of you are checking that out right now, and we're appreciative big time. And if you can flip some cheddar their way to keep this ministry going strong, do it. ShowerUp.org. Thank you, Paul, for being with us today, my man.
If you want the details, just text SHOWER to 312-274-9624. Just text SHOWER, 312-274-9624.
Start your day moving closer to Jesus. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
And the faithfulness of God is amazing, guys. You know, sometimes we don't see it because we're not mindful of it. But if you look over the last 24 hours, you can see the hand and the faithfulness of God for sure. And Lord, I just pray that today we would see your hand move, that we would see you in everything that we're doing. Make us mindful. Make us mindful of the fact that your Spirit is speaking the truth of your word back into our lives constantly. Make us aware that as disciples of Christ, we have an opportunity moment by moment each day to give you glory. Father, I praise you that we're no longer slaves to sin, but we're bound over to righteousness. And Lord, that opportunity is one that we don't want to squander today. We want to stay right in that sweet spot with you, God, just rocking down this road of life today and running in such a way as to win the prize. Not boxing at the air, but really dealing a blow to our enemy by the power of your word, the sword of the Spirit, wielding the truth that is stored up in our heart and in our mind in a way that gives us great victory. It's what we want today, Lord. We really do. And so, Lord, I pray a blessing over the whole Boom crew that's listening right now. God, just would you show us the grace that you've given us? Open our eyes, wake us up to the reality that we truly live in resurrection power. We died, and our life is now hidden with Christ in God. And I praise you for that. Those are great realities. They're powerful, Lord, and I thank you. In Jesus' name, we pray together. Amen.
Amen.
And let
Amen.
It be. Hey, this is Carl with Carl and Crew, and I'm so grateful that you listened to this showcast. Thank you mostly for being part of the Boom Crew. As we help you take your next step with Jesus, you're a huge encouragement to us. We'll be here again live every weekday morning from 5 to 9 a.m. Godspeed.